Bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we're just standing with this lovely people this morning, and we'd like to say we love you. It's not us, Lord, it's what you have done at Calvary for our salvation. If it was up to us, Lord, we'd be wiped out in a second. But Lord, we stand on your grace and your love and mercy. Pray, Lord, so somehow might touch our hearts this morning. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Forgive our sins and our trespasses. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of the greatest things is to have your sins be forgiven. You know that? We just don't understand what God is doing for us. But you remember the first day we just tried to point a couple of verses about what they were doing in the book of Acts, what they were doing daily in the temple and in every house. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I think if we do that, we'll be way, way far ahead. Am I right?
Amen.
Way far ahead. So often we are waiting to see what he's going to say and what he's not going to say. And people today are finding themselves in a fulfillment of Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians 2 starts with the Laodiceans there in the beginning, but then God speaks about his word that in Christ he's the head of all principalities and powers. And after that he said that there will be people that will be intruding into those things that they have not seen. Do you know the human mind is dying to know something that probably cannot grasp even? Do you know that sometimes people are finding satisfaction in confusion because they think it's deep? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we think that something is deep, and because we don't understand it, we think it's that's the answer. But you know, God dwells in simplicity always.
Amen.
You know that? He dealt with a woman out of the well. He dealt with somebody in the corner. His gospel was very simple.
Yes.
We complicate it because we tend to philosophize about it instead of practicing it. But I'm so thankful to the Lord for a simple gospel. I was talking to a Jewish professor the other day. She's an older person. She was my student one time at a university, big university, 47,000 students. And I said, "Hey, did you read that article about the temple that they plan to build in Jerusalem?" She says, "No, I didn't read the article." I says, "There's an article there about they're building the temple, and I think they allocated about $9 or $10 million just for the drawing of it." So Israel wants to build a temple. I said to her, "The temple is not going to be any good." She said, "Why?" I said, "Where is the Ark of the Covenant?"
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
What are you going to do with it? I said, "Excuse me, where is the Ark of the Covenant?" She said, "I don't know." She says, "What do you think they're going to do?" I said, "Did you ever think that the Israel now has discontinued offering sacrifices? Why? They even confess about Jesus Christ our sacrifice, and they don't even know it." I said, "Have you ever considered they don't have a high priest?" I said, "Why?" "Because Christ is the high priest." Am I right? They're confessing, and they don't even know it. Because we are tend to look ourselves to something that if we do this, then God is going to come here because you say so. But without the Ark of the Covenant, you don't have a temple.
That's right.
She said, "What do you think happened to the Ark of the Covenant?" I said, "I can give you just an opinion." I said, "Who destroyed the temple?" "The Roman Empire destroyed the temple." You know that? I just blame them. Probably they took it. But to me, it's irrelevant. You know why? Because Christ came, and he's everything.
Amen.
That's all. That's all. So I'm so thankful to the Lord for what he has been doing and what he's doing. And I'm just sometimes get too nervous because the coming of the Lord is so near that you don't want self to correct self. You want God to correct you, make sure He's doing it, you're not doing it. You know, there's a battle there, you know. We say, I'm going to do it, but you can't do anything. He has to do it all.
That's true.
The greatest thing is to know how to surrender to Him and let Him do it. You know, so often we see people that become super spiritual and they destroy themselves. You know what? They are climbing to areas that they have no business. And a long time ago, I learned this, that no matter how many revelations you know, and no matter how true they are, if you don't know the life of Jesus Christ, you're lost.
Amen.
A man said to me one time, he says, are you ready? He was bringing me a deep revelation about the rapture. I said, I don't understand this. He said to me, you'll never make it then. I said, all right. He said to me, what are you going to do about it? I said, nothing. He said to me, what do you mean nothing? I said, unless He reveals it to me, what can I do? I'm helpless. Am I right? Unless He reveals it to me, I'm helpless. There's nothing I can do. He says, well, this is this idea. I said, you can conceive intellectually a doctrine, but it's far away from the truth. And even you can know the truth, but unless that truth makes you free, you're still not free even with a knowledge of the truth. So it takes God to do it, correct?
Amen.
Then he said, well, what are you going to do about it? I says, I know one thing. I says, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen.
That's all I know. I said, bury me with Jesus, and I don't worry how I'm going to get up. Am I right? I'm just waiting to be buried with Jesus. And then he says, if we can be planted like that, we will be also. I said, now he, that's a promise. I stand in the promise. I said, bury me with Jesus and I'll tell you where I go. You know, so simple. And we complicate things. You try to figure out now, how I'm going to get up from the grave. I'm going to get up this way or that. Who cares? To me, I want to be buried with Jesus and then the rest of it, it's okay. It's so simple that if we accept the simplicity of the gospel, we'll be going farther ahead. You know? And I just love because it's so... I brought a thing one time, might have been here, how God in simplicity now takes a woman. She was found to the very act of adultery. So the Pharisee says she was found in the very act. So somewhere the poor lady, she was caught doing the act, right? So now what happened? They drag her to Jesus. It wasn't an easy drag, a lady, you know, don't touch me. Probably grab her from the hair. Here she goes. They bring her to Jesus. Here is the Pharisees, okay? Become the means for that woman to be saved while they go to hell. You think of that? It blows your brain apart. You know that? So they drag her to Jesus and he says, now what are you going to do about her? He says, you know, they went to the scriptures. They knew the law. He says, the law said that this woman should be stoned to death. What would you do about it? Jesus didn't do anything about it because, you know, he couldn't break the law. The law says both shall be killed, but where is the man? Am I right? God blinded them to bring that lady to be saved. They didn't bring the man to fulfill the word. Here the woman stands before Jesus, and Jesus stands down and wrote something. Nobody knows what Jesus wrote, but each one of them start taking off. And that woman stayed there with Jesus, got saved.
Hallelujah.
You think of it. Jesus said, the Pharisees, why were they? They were the sons of Satan. He says, you have your father the devil, he tells them. And now God is using them to bring a soul to be saved while they're lost. Now you figure that out. You know, you cannot figure out the gospel.
Amen.
You lean on God. Like I mentioned, the Pharisee. The Pharisee, the walk in the temple, he says, Lord, I fast so many days. I'm in the message.
You know that? The poor publican sitting in the corner, he says, I don't even know what he's talking about. He says, I fast, I pay my tithing. Tithing, what is it? You know? And that poor guy, the publican, was sitting with his head down like that. And the Pharisee didn't even know that he was preaching to the publican. Because in the synagogues, they pray loud, you know. And Jesus says, who do you think they make it? The poor publican make it. The Pharisee got lost. You know? It's so beyond understanding the simplicity of the gospel. But God doesn't break His word. God cannot break His word. You know that? Because when He put His word down, the word was totally perfect. And it is perfect.
Amen.
Every comma, every little thing that you see, there's a meaning behind it. A man said one time, he says, this person can do this, I cannot do the scriptures. He says, I can show you, he says, this, tell me what is in the scripture. I would be afraid to say that, you know. Because I don't believe that unless God reveals you the word or be a prophet to know. I don't claim to have the whole revelation of the whole scriptures. Do you? And I'm not saved by knowledge either. I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
I'm not saved because my daddy was a missionary either. I'm saved by grace.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not saved by seniority either. I've been 20 years in the message. This has nothing to do with it. I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. You know, God sends a prophet, points us to Christ. What happened? Now we don't even know who saves what. You shake somebody's hand and says, are you a Christian? I'm in the message. Have you received the Holy Ghost? What is that? I'm in the message. I've been 20 years. No matter if you have been 50 years, you need the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
That's what the prophet said, right?
Amen.
You know, if we knew what the Holy Ghost is, probably I'm going to spend one night on the Holy Ghost. It just tears you apart. To know that Spirit of Christ, the resurrected Spirit of Christ, came in you. And now you can kneel down next to your bed, and Jesus Christ, the sacrifice, stands as an attorney for you in the day of judgment. You'll be screaming for it. If you knew. But you know, it takes salvation first. It takes repentance. You know, repentance is not I change my mind and I accept. Repentance is a verdict that you pronounce to yourself and you say, I'm guilty. So in the Old Testament, we see that God spoke about Jesus, His Son. He was going to come to this earth and die for you and I. But you know what? All these things, they were hidden back there. Do you know that? They were hidden back there. The prophets spoke about them. But it takes time. Somebody said to me one time, he says, brother, he says, what is a mystery? I says, a mystery is when human understanding or human being cannot reason or understand it. It takes God to reveal it. Am I right? And after a mystery terminates from being a mystery, you know it. It doesn't mean that's fulfilled either.
Amen.
You know that? We know that mystery Babylon, what it is, but it hasn't been burned with fire yet.
That's right.
Huh? So it takes one step at a time. God reveals it. And we know back in the Old Testament, God spoke about the coming of the Lord. The Lamb of God. Brother Branham spoke about, one of these days, God of heaven is going to come down. And we know that Abraham's sacrifice identifies that Lamb there that was one day identifies Christ. And you go to Isaiah and a virgin shall conceive. And all these things have to be fulfilled. Do you know that? And when Christ came, Paul was speaking about, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began.
Yes.
So God can keep it secret, you know that? Since the world began. And then he continues, his, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. With other words, Paul says, now, it's not going, you're not going to scratch your head and say, that's how Jesus is going to come. No, no. It's already there how it's going to be, right? Am I right? And many people say, now I think this is going to happen. I says, I don't think it's going to happen. I says, what is the scriptures for it? Have you ever thought sometimes when we deal with something that we want to study? I think I gave the copy to Brother James or somebody, but I think I had another copy of some things that Brother Branham said. He said one time, listen to this, to me, everything that operates must come out of the Bible.
Amen.
Listen to what he says. It's to be proven in the Bible, not just one place, but it has to come in that way through the Bible. It must dovetail with every scripture or I don't believe it.
Amen.
That's powerful, isn't it? What about if Brother Searle and I were sitting back there at the time of Moses and we say, now, the Lord has come. Here's the Messiah. He says, here's the Messiah. How do you know he has come? Oh, he says, you see the cloud? Then I go to Isaiah, it says, a virgin shall conceive. Am I right?
Amen.
He says, was he the cloud conceived by a virgin? What's going on? You got to take the scriptures all the way through. Am I right? When you establish that, you're not afraid of anything. Now, the Old Testament Jehovah had to come down. And when he came down, he started describing to us in the book of John what we are expecting. And listen very carefully tonight. I mean, he said this morning. In the book of John, he says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning.
Amen.
Now, you try to think when the beginning was, and you go way, way back before nothing existed. And he says, that the beginning that you're talking about was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning, and now we see that that Word became flesh.
Amen.
What is flesh? It's a human being, you and I, Jesus.
Amen.
But remember, Jesus didn't start it when Mary gave the birth, but he pre-existed. Am I right?
Amen. True.
He came in. The scripture says this, which was born not of blood. With other words, Joseph had nothing to do with it. He wasn't a Greek. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't anything else.
Amen.
So let's isolate that. And now he's ready to come down. He comes down, he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and the scripture says, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. With other words, you and I have nothing to do with it. God decided to do it, and he did it. Everybody wants to make a claim on Jesus that he's this and he's that. He was a Gentile, he was a Jew, he wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile. No, he wasn't. He was a mighty God.
Amen.
It came down.
Right.
But the scripture, remember, says, and the Word became flesh. So what you see in this flesh, a man walks, has 2 feet, 2 arms, 2 eyes. It's the Almighty God in a flesh form.
Amen.
Now Paul says in Colossians, he says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the divine nature bodily, not head and head. There are not 2 heads. Theotis there. In him dwell the fullness of the divine nature bodily, and he is the head of all principalities and powers, and there are not 2 heads.
Amen.
One makes a decision, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He came down here, he'd like you and I, he was tired. He took upon himself flesh. Am I right?
Yes.
That's very important to me. Because I'm going to be looking here now how he took me in the body of his flesh to save me.
Amen.
I love that, don't you?
Amen.
Huh? Because to me, I don't even have my outline here. To me, when I start looking at Jesus, I start looking myself. And I said, in the Old Testament, I had the law. The law said to me, don't steal. Don't do this. Do this. What is it? It's a group of instructions that God is giving to man and tells me what God is, first of all. Don't steal, then I know God is not a thief.
Amen.
Right? Don't do this, I know God says don't. That's against Him. So now my daddy, which was Adam one time, messed up with the whole world. So I don't have to be to say that now my daddy was good, I've never done this, I have been to church all my life. The only thing I'm saying, I'm a sinner because I was born as a sinner.
That's true.
I'm starting at the bottom. And there's no big and small sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only difference, we don't know what everybody has done. That's why sometimes the proud stand up when the proud, there are more sinners than the innocent. Am I right? Because you don't know what's everybody's life behind there. But we know one thing, that Jesus forgives all sins.
Thank you, Lord.
So now when I see myself in that way, and I said, now, I was born a sinner. The scripture says, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. Brother Branham says, I'm the chief of sinners. Do you need? He need a Savior. Both need a Savior. And you and I would need a Savior. So now the instructions that God gave me, He said, now listen, I said, you inherited a nature, you tried to do this and you tried to do that, and you know you're a sinner, now I'm going to give my law. And the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Amen.
He tells me, you cannot do it. I says, then why you tell me to do it for? Right?
Amen.
If you tell me, David, my money's fly 10 feet above the city, why do you tell me to fly for? Why I cannot do it? I don't have any wings to do it. But He said, I'll give you my law. That's my word. And in the Old Testament, He says, now, I want you to fulfill this law, and any time that you don't do the law, you fail the law, what I want you to do, I want you to take an animal and go and kill it. And He says, when you put your head up on that animal, and His throat is cut, remember, that animal blood will cover sins, but it will not remit sins.
Amen.
The sin is still there.
Amen.
So I said, is that what I'm supposed to do? Yeah. And then I start looking. He says, now, what are you going to do, David, Mama? He says, you go on and you fulfill the law. And He says, now, one day, that word that I spoke in the Old Testament, because God is His word, am I right? Is going to become flesh. And He says, I'm going to do it. Because it's my word, and if I break my own word, I'm not God. So He wasn't just a man coming from Adam, was the second Adam. Pretty simple, so the little boy will understand it. Will understand salvation. So God says now, for what the law could not do in that was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
Hallelujah.
The law could not do it. This brother said to me, do this. I says, yes, sir. I try to do it, I fail, I mess up. The Bible tells me I cannot do it. You said you can do it, you go so far, you'll be so self-righteous that you don't even know how to get back. Are you glad that you can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, give me strength.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Give me strength, Jesus.
Mm.
Wherefore the law is holy. The commandments are holy and just and good. So don't blame the law. This is holy. The problem is with me that I cannot fulfill that law. I got to do something about it. Am I right? God cannot change and lower His standards because I'm a sinner. He has to maintain His standards, but He has to find a way to redeem me back to Himself. I love that, don't you? So now I'm looking and I say, Lord God, You help me. You said that I cannot do it, and that's true, I cannot do it. You know, we are surface people. We put a big show to each other sometimes. But when we're alone, there's another story. It's pretty silent because it's true. We're different. We fail. We sin that nobody knows about it except us. And He speaks about that law stands. So now God comes, makes a flesh, steps in that flesh. I look at this flesh. I look at the Old Testament. And God, everything that He had done in the Old Testament now, He put it in this body. Do you know? He ordained a high priest back there. And the high priest is supposed to be only one. There are not two high priests. Israel was not allowed to have two high priests until they backslid. And I'm back there in the Old Testament. I'm looking here at the high priest. Once a year he goes to the Day of the Atonement. And the Scripture says, and no man shall be at the temple when that high priest or that the tabernacle or the high priest enter to offer the sacrifice. It cannot go in without blood, correct? But no man can enter in there. Do you know why? No man can substitute your salvation by just Jesus Christ. He did it all. No priest, no preacher, no pope, no prophet can do it. No man, He says, shall be allowed into that tabernacle when the high priest brings the blood. He brings the blood in the holiest of all. And we hear the little bells at the bottom, gling, 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 gling. The priest goes in. Here is the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat on the top. And in that mercy seat, what he does, he has a smoke with the incenses. Stands between him and the mercy seat and the blood. And the mercy seat is a mercy seat instead of a judgment seat. And any time you remove the blood, you're wiped out.
Amen.
You know that?
Yes, sir.
The mercy seat becomes a judgment seat. And you and I are finished. Leave the blood alone.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise
He has done it all and we messed it up. So now we see the mercy. See, the high priest comes in and he says to the high priest, High priest, I want to talk to you a little bit. He says, I want to put a garment on you. And that garment is going to have a certain things. You're going to have a breastplate, you know. 12 stones. And that's the 12 tribes of Israel. That's where you have to stand in the front and say, to tell the truth or the lie. And also he told the high priest, now another thing, high priest, that I want you to do. He said to them this. He says, and he that is the high priest among the brethren upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, and he is consecrated to put on the garments, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. Have reverence in the clothes, right? It's what I stand for. I know I'm jumping a little bit, but I want you to give you a little flavor on the process. He says, don't rent your clothes. And there was another time that when Jesus came in the flesh form, He was the high priest. You know that?
Yes.
What the high priest was wearing in this garment is what Jesus was in flesh. Do you know that? And what the high priest standing with a breastplate and everything, that was the Word was in a flesh form. And one time the high priest met with Jesus, and that happened before the cross. And all of a sudden, what happens now? The high priest and the Caiaphas was there, and the rest of them. And the conversation started, and of course, Caiaphas, you know, stood there. You couldn't find an accusation before Jesus, and this person said this, and all of a sudden, a couple of witnesses comes up, and he says, he claims to destroy the temple, and he can build it up again. And Jesus, of course, Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, tell the truth. Are you the Christ, the Son of God? The high priest had a question behind his mind, you see. He knew that something was going on there. And he said, Jesus said, you said it. Am I right? He said, you said it. And then he continues and he says, nevertheless, I say unto you, thereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds. When the descent of Jesus started? In 63? No. When Jesus said that. You want doctrine? You're getting it. Jesus says that's the time that starts. From that time on, he says, you're going to see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of God. What the high priest did? Got mad, right? Take his clothes, strip him. What he did? He violated the law of God. Why? Because he stood in the presence of the true high priest. God's in a flesh form, strips him of all his rights, and now take his own blood to go to Calvary.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
God said to the high priest, don't do it. The high priest did it. He violated the word of God. What the garment was is what Jesus is. And Jesus now takes all his rights out of him. The high priest rent his clothes. Jesus with his own blood, now he's moving to Calvary.
Amen.
Going on. What a beautiful gospel.
Amen.
If we knew the revelation of Jesus Christ, we'd be running out, get lost. We couldn't contain it. He did it all. Am I right?
Exactly.
He did it all. I'm just speaking here and there. I like the Old Testament and the New together. You know, you see the Old Testament, you see the New, you see the New, you see the Old, you see the message right on the Scriptures. I have no problem with the message, friends. I see everything just perfect. I don't see any problem with the message.
Amen.
And now we see the high priest all of a sudden. He says, now, listen, he says, then the high priest rent his clothes saying, he has spoken blasphemy. The high priest now rents his clothes. With other words, if Jesus had to say one more thing, he says, that doesn't belong to you anyway. It's mine. Right? It's mine. You wear my garment. It's mine. I'm getting ready to go to Calvary now. Down the Via Della Rosa, Bumpety Cross, to go up there. I'm just condensing, giving only 1% from what we could get into. But I look now at Jesus in flesh form. And I look who he is. And I look what he has done. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the second chapter and the 15th verse, says this. 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law, the commandments contained in the ordinances, and to make in himself the two one new man in peace.
Glory.
So now he and I will make one. Isn't it beautiful? In the body of his flesh. You say, Brother David, what about the blood? The life of that flesh is in the blood, and that's the blood of God. You can't go wrong. Redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. People today ask me, said to me, how long you have been in the message? Just ask me about Calvary. Ask me about Jesus. Ask me when the two became one. I can tell you. You can know all the message, and a true message, friend, it's not the intellect of the message, but it's the life of Jesus Christ in His Word.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Everybody try to be a Greek scholar and this that I should leave me alone. Find a corner that I can be alone and talk to Jesus. That's what I want. They can have it. He said something else there. Probably can find it. It's Colossians 1, 21, 22, somewhere down there. Listen to what he said. And you that were sometimes alienated, is that you and I? We were, am I right? Enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's identifying me. I don't know about you. Yet now He has reconciled how? In the body of His flesh through death. So I'm looking at Jesus now walking. The body. Do you know by faith that we talk back to Abraham all the way back there? Now by faith, I'm in that body. Do you know that, friend? Do you know you are saved because you are in the body of Christ? Oh, I thought that Jesus died for me on the cross. If you weren't in that body when He died, you are not saved. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Paul didn't say, Jesus crucified for me. He says, I'm crucified with Christ.
Amen.
So now we see a divine union of the bride of Jesus Christ out of His own body.
Praise the Lord. Glory.
People says, are you in the bride? I'm in the cross with Jesus, so I am in the bride. Huh? So now the picture changes. That Word that became flesh, all of a sudden start pulling you to Himself. And you see yourself in Jesus Christ. You see these two in one. You see that when He died, you die. You see that you were in Him before the foundation of the world. We're arguing about predestination. Predestination, who hath chosen, eklego, ek is out, logos is the word, who He called out by the word. The word does predestination, not you. And you are predestinated because of the word, not because you are nice looking.
Right.
You and the word become one, the word has already been predestinated. All the way to eternity with Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful, isn't it? People try to figure out predestination, Calvin and the rest of them. Ironside turns upside down. He argued with Calvin and the rest of them. I said, not just give me Jesus. Here's a simple answer. Who He have chosen in Ephesians, that eklego, out by the word, ek out, logos, the word, who have pulled out by the word. It's not because I am, because of the word. And I become one with the word, and I keep on going with Jesus now. Keep on going to eternity. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God, you know. Paul found a bunch of philosophers. Listen to this. They were the message, these boys. The message of the hour Paul was preaching to them. And one of them says, now listen, he says. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, I'm of William Branham, I'm of David Mamas, I'm of this, I'm of that. Paul says, who was crucified? Because that's the center of salvation, am I right? That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where the prophet points you and I. That's where he points us to Jesus Christ. And Paul says, now listen, he says, you go by the baptism. Like I remember when I was in Jeff and Brother Branham's mother was dying. He said, how are you doing, David? I said, good, Brother Branham, how are you doing? So he took me over. The other woman was dying. He took me over. He says, mother, tell David you love Jesus. And she went like that. The last breaths of life. And these fellows, I wasn't baptized yet. He said to me, Brother Branham, baptized you? I said, what difference it makes? They looked me cross-eyed. Is he a blasphemer? What is he? I'm baptized into Jesus Christ. Am I right? I'm going to go to Calvary to be buried with him. So Paul continues and he says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of the words, but the cross of Christ should not be made of none effect. He takes you back to the cross, and then all of a sudden, Paul breaks loose. He says, for the preaching of the cross, and I like that because he doesn't say the preaching of the word cross in the Greek. He says, for the logos, the word of the cross. You might know the word outside of the cross, but unless you know the word of the cross and eat from it, you're lost. Not the preaching of the cross, my precious brother and sister, but the word of the cross. What's the difference, Brother David? Today we have too much word, 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 and we don't want to go to the cross to die with Jesus. That's what it means. We know everything. We know every revelation. But when you are buried with Jesus, you know nothing.
Amen.
Everything is He.
Yes.
Am I right?
Amen.
He's the center of everything.
Amen.
He's the Redeemer.
Amen.
Now he's going to take me with him. What is he going to do? I don't know. He's going to bury me with him. Bury, yes. All of a sudden, you know, the things were going on and pushing around and so on. When Paul came over, he didn't see anything around with the disciples. He said, I went to Arabia for 3 years. Make sure I'm talking to Jesus instead of a bunch of doctrine. And he says, when I came back, I don't care if Peter preached Pentecost. I told him in his face, you are wrong, Peter. Woo. What are you talking about? I'm a disciple. I preach Pentecost. He says, Peter, I would stoop him on the face, Paul said. Because he spent 3 years knowing the cross of Calvary. And you take the cross out of Paul's message, you haven't left much. You take the cross out of William Branham's message, you haven't left much. Do you know that? We are saved by the blood of Jesus. We see that flesh now coming down, the Word becoming flesh, and start leading us. Where do you go, David? Mama, it's where Jesus went. How do you know? Because I'm in Him. And then what happens? He takes me to the grave with him. Are you a dead person or alive in the world, friend? Have you been to the burial of Jesus? Have you been dead with Christ? Oh, you know the message. The question is, have you been dead with him? Do you claim? Not, I'm not talking about you got saved 15 years ago, came to the altar, cry a little bit, amen, praise the Lord, and you see a change. So I'm talking about dying daily. That hurts, right? I'm talking about embracing your Judas that Jesus sent you on the cross daily instead of kicking them around. If we knew what I said, we'd be weeping because I do it and you do it. God's love sometimes brings the Judases to take us to Calvary and we kick them around. Instead of saying, do it again, boy. Do it again. Let me tell you what victory is in Christ Jesus. When the devil looks at you, And God permits the Judas to come over to drive the nails at you. It hurts. You kick. You fuss. You come to the church. I have a prayer request. Oh, God's love, stay up there. Just let them pray. I want Betty Jones to get close to me, and I provided Judas for her. Take up your cross and follow me. Then all of a sudden, Betty Jones gets a revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, what happened? He says, lead me to the cross to die with Jesus. And now the closer I go to Jesus, the more I become victorious. The devil says, what am I going to do with her anyway? The more I kick her around, the closer she gets to Jesus.
Praise God.
That's victory. Am I right?
Yes.
That is victory. Not shake somebody and bodily exercise profit a little. Do you know that?
No.
It takes the consecrated heart of Calvary. Stay there. Know where you're going. It says, Lord Jesus, you promised in Revelation 17 and you spoke through a prophet in the last days. You spoke, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Lord Jesus, I have been rebuked and be chastened. Do you really love me? Ooh, that's prayer. Am I right? That's a hard one. That's taking the word and applying it. I put a question next to it. The word of the cross now. It's going up. Well, then what happened? He says, now, what he's going to do with me? He took me to the grave with him. One day he rose up again. And Paul says, you are sitting now in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But I'm still here. I don't care. I was in Jesus when he died. At the cross, I went to the grave, now I'm going up there. How do you know? Because that spirit that was in Jesus, he sent it back to me and filled me with the Holy Ghost and tells me now you are in me in that body. Friends, what a confirmation of salvation, the Holy Ghost. You know, Judas couldn't do it. He went all the way. And you know, he was a lovey boy. He was charismatic. He went over and kissed Jesus. Jesus, I love you. You know, so many arms of Judas wrapped around my back sometimes, in your back. We love you, and a knife in your back. Am I right? But you know something? All of a sudden, you know, when the Holy Ghost comes back to you, and that's the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, and seals you, what this means, like I brought and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, by which you have been sealed until the day of your redemption. The word alavon means engagement, and that's the engagement that you get that you're the bride of Jesus Christ. How do you know that you are the bride? I got the Holy Ghost, that's all. Is that enough? Plenty. Because Jesus never breaks his engagements, you know. He's engaged with you, he's responsible. You know what Paul said one time? He says, I know, he says, that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. With other words, says, dear Jesus, you're responsible not to keep it.
Hallelujah.
Am I right?
Amen.
You're responsible because I committed unto you to keep it. You're God and you can keep it.
Amen.
So you're responsible in the day of judgment. Don't tell me why this and that, because I committed unto you against that day. Victory in Christ Jesus. Victory in Christ Jesus. The prophet comes in the last days. What do we do? We make a mess. The first one comes and says, I'm assemblies. The next one, I'm four square. The next one, I belong to there. And the next one, I belong to this. I belong to that. He says, why don't you belong to Christ? Am I right? That's what he preached. Why don't you belong to Christ? He said.
Amen.
And he said, what? Why don't you belong to Christ? And we look cross-eyed. Oh, this might be the message. And then we say, praise God. Give me tapes. Give me books. Praise God. And now you hear another sound. Oh, foolish Galatians. You started with a spirit. You are finishing in the flesh now. Am I right? The Galatians, the book of Galatians sounds pretty good now.
He said, did you receive that? You suffer so much? You were persecuted? You were rebuked, you ladies with long hair from the rest of them, look you at a restaurant? Now you're back in the flesh? We're carnal believers? Is the resurrected life of Jesus Christ lives in us? We have only about 5 or 10 minutes before they ring the bell. But listen to this. Tonight, the Lord's will, I'm going to do about something different. If you can, when you go home, read over and over, if you can, Malachi 4:6. That's a good thing, isn't it? Huh? Malachi 4:6. We'll read that. So all of a sudden now we live at the end and we look at ourselves and we say, what is going to happen next? And the person says, probably this is it. Probably that's it. The guy comes around with a yellow tie and pink shoes. That's the guy of the hour. Brother Brown says, there's only one man of the hour. That's Jesus Christ. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
We go to the cross. You bury me with Jesus and I'll let you know where I go. Beautiful. You bury me with him and I'll let you know where I go. You know where I go? Where he went.
Amen.
You bury me with him. When the pressure starts, should I take this? Should I know who is right? Just die with Jesus and then you know what? There's peace in your heart.
Amen.
And you know how the Holy Ghost works? He deals with you in sin. It's not the more you know, the closer you get to God, friends. It's more responsibility because you're liable to what you know.
That's true.
I often pray, I say, Lord, don't give me revelations without being fulfilled in my life. Because I'm liable to what I know. What a beautiful Jesus we have, friends. That we look around and we say, Lord Jesus, what are you going to do with us? So Paul, look at the people, says, now we're in the message, we're under grace. Who cares about the blood? Who cares about the Holy Ghost? Who cares about this? Who cares about that? We're ready for the rapture. We got the word. Listen to what I'm saying. But that word of the Old Testament had to become blood in the new to redeem you. That word had to become flesh in order to produce salvation.
Amen.
And that Calvary never terminates because even after Jesus' resurrection, the nail place was right there.
Hallelujah.
Stands forever redemption.
Amen.
That he paid the price for you and I. What is legalism? Legalism is when you try to fulfill the law of God by the power of the flesh. What is grace? When you fulfill it through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The law never changes. It remains the same. God's word says, don't kill women, long hair, man, do this. Sometimes you look at a man who we don't know, or a woman who we don't know if they're he, she, or shim. Anymore. You know that? So you look here and he says, no, that law stands. What happens? Legalism. I'm going to do it, the prophet said. I'm going to do that. That's correct. We don't break that. But do you do it or Jesus doing it in you? You'll be in trouble later. You can go so far. And then you blame everybody else except yourself. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
You blame the deacon, you blame the preacher, you blame this, you blame that. Why? You have reached a dead end, you can't do it, and everybody's wrong except you. You know that? So Paul said to these Romans, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace may be abound? With other words, can you violate the law? He says, we're under grace, we do anything we want to now. Forget about that. No, no, he said. He says, God forbid. He says this, how shall we then that are dead to sin live any longer within? He says, if you claim that you have been at Calvary, if you claim that you are dead in Christ,
"Why do you say that, you phony?" he said. "If you're not dead, you don't do it." That's pretty hard gospel. But it's a true gospel. Am I right? Deliverance from self. The old man is dead. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from everything. You go on. And you know what? The message becomes a new book to you. The tape becomes life to you. You don't sit around and listen to the tape, drink coffee, and say, "Oh, that was pretty good. I did a religion today." No. It drives you to your knees and tears you apart. Woe is me, I'm undone. So now he says, "Now know ye not that as many as you were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" With other words, you are going to be baptized tomorrow. You're not taking a bath. You are baptized to his death. You are confessing that you went to Calvary with him. You repented first and then you were baptized. Why? All of a sudden you realize that when he went to the cross, you were in him. And what you do at the baptism, you come over and tell us, "I was with Jesus. I was dead." Am I right? I'm not going to take a bath right here. I'm going to testify that I'm dead with Christ. That's what you're doing. How many people will baptize, give them a bath, and they'll never repent and they went out in the world again? They'll never met Calvary, these people. Isn't it? But he says, "How do you know?" It's up to them. A man said to me in communion, he said, "I'm going to do this and this and that." I says, "No, what I do communion, I just wait and read the scripture." He says, "Now, we're going to spend 5 or 10 minutes and wait on the Lord." He says, "Let a man examine himself. Don't blame me about it. Examine yourself. Are you drink communion in the praises of God, or you doing damnation to yourself? That's all." Right?
Yes.
I'm not the sorting, you know, corner, you know. It's God that does the sorting. So now he said to them, "Don't you know that as many were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" He says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the body of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life."
Hallelujah.
So you say, "Brother David, what this means, if we don't walk in the newness of life, you're an improved sinner." If there is such a thing like us, an improved sinner. You conform to the rules, do's and don'ts, daddy says this, mother said that, so on, and we go on doing it and keep on doing it, and now we're religious. We listen to the tapes. That's what the prophet says, that's what you do. The prophet says, "Go to Calvary to be saved by the blood of Jesus."
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
Now listen, young people, I love you. I don't care how old I'm going to be, I'm going to be with you. Anytime I go to see, I go to the university, look around, you know, like lost man, you know. But let me tell you, you cannot fight the battle yourself.
Amen.
By the power of self, you cannot fulfill the law. You'll be out in a mess.
Amen.
It's only by the power of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, that took you, and you're dead to the world and the things of the world, you keep on going with Jesus. So he says, now, he says, "And if we have been planted together," not just yourself. You see, you have been planted together with Jesus. "In the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Somebody said to me, "Do you know this tape?" A man came over to me one time. He says, "I got this tape in my pocket." I said, what's that for? He says, "When the rapture comes, I'll have it all the time." That's a real thing happened to me, friends. I look at the man, he says, "I got the tape." I said to him, "I'm buried with Jesus. So I don't worry." He says, "Yeah, I'm going to get up and go." Am I right? "If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." We don't want a cross. We don't want the word of the cross. We want just the word, but not the cross. Remember, the great Jehovah had to come down and make flesh for redemption. You may make sure that you follow the word of the cross.
Yes.
Instead of just the intellect, the word only. You are buried with Jesus. You rose up with Jesus. You go on with Jesus.
Amen.
A beautiful gospel. I can't even have any go my outline again. But I love the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We are at the end, friends. It scares me. Have you been to Calvary? That's my question. Have you been saved by the blood of Jesus? How do I know, Brother David, what happened? There is a time that you know your sins were forgiven. Or you're a deprogrammed sinner to the message. You're thinking like everybody. You play the vocabulary of a message. You're listening to the tapes. What I'm asking, is the life of Calvary in you? That's a big question, am I right? You know, that's how it can help a man and a woman. You talk to gentlemen and ladies many times. And the first thing that they tell you, there's something between me and God. Probably they can define it or probably they cannot. And I like to close back with the story that I like to tell so many times about Charlotte Elliot, the poetess in England. Charlotte Elliot was in a mess. She was a sinner like you and I. And that missionary went over from Switzerland to see Charlotte Elliot. Charlotte Elliot threw him out. He says, get out of here. But then she started thinking about the plan of salvation. She started thinking about what the man said. And she wanted to become, she said, I called that man again. He came back and he told me what I'm supposed to know. And then he left. And then he wanted to be self-saved. You know, there's a thing like that, self-saved. You know, sometimes the scriptures call it self-righteousness. And she sat down and wrote her sins. I have done this, I have messed around there, I have this, finished the list. Now I'm going to tell Jesus. You see, you don't have to write anything down. He knows it before you start. Am I right? He knows it all. So then next day she got up, she looked at the list and said, oh, I forgot this. I forgot that. Then she didn't know what to do. And she got sick. Very ill. She lay in bed. Tossed around the bed. The anointing of a poetess came upon her. And she wrote the beautiful song, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Just as I am. You know, you don't have to figure out your sins. It's just as you are. He says, Jesus, you made me. I want to go to Calvary. I don't know what it's all about. I'm missing it. Is the rapture going to come and I'm going to be gone? What am I supposed to do? And you know what? He takes care of it. You don't have to say, now you do this, Jesus, don't do this. And you don't worry about that. This is Lord, help me. Before I turn the service to Brother Cyril, I want to pray. I'm just wondering if you'd like to bow your heads for a minute. Close your eyes. Please don't look. Please don't look. Before I pray, I'd like to ask a question. How many of you think that you're in the message, but you haven't been to Calvary? Raise your hands. You don't feel like you're done. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Hands all over. Bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. Oh, Lord, our hands. Let's pray. Jesus of Nazareth, we're crossing the... Nothing holds except your blood. Lord, I've gone the road and doctorings and everything. I believe this. I fuss about that, but... The bottom question is, where is Jesus? Where is Calvary? Lord, forgive our sins this morning. You said that if we just confess our sins, you are just to forgive us. Thy word said so, God. Hands were all over. The question was the difference between the message and being saved at Calvary. Father God, I pray from that moment on, if a soul raised its hand to be meet with you and be dead with you, Lord God, These people know that we have been planted together in the likeness of your death. We shall be also in the likeness of your resurrection. Forgive my sins first, God. Forgive each one of our sins here. Lord, your spirit is sweet. It's dealing us before the end once more. Lord, thank you for the Holy Ghost that deals with us. That word of God that pulls us and tests us. Lord, we want the word of the cross. We don't want philosophies anymore.
Amen.
We want the life of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God and salvation. Bless each one here, Lord. I don't know these people, but my desire is to spend eternity, all of us together, on the other side with you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us because your word said so. Help us from this time on, Lord, to look to Calvary, see ourselves and ask ourselves, are we dead with you or not? We love you, Jesus, this morning. Bless each one. The young people, Father God, the world is pulling them. Oh, Jesus, help them, Lord. There's nothing out there. God, keep them from schools and everything, God. Keep them pure, Father God. Bless each minister here, Lord. Brother Keith, Brother Cyril, and the rest of them. God of heaven, be with them and help them. We love you, Jesus, this day. Thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing as we turn the service to Brother Cyril, just as I am. Just as I am without.